Let's bow our heads briefly again in prayer. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for the gospel of thy Son, Jesus Christ, the good news to sinners, that he came to die for them in order that their souls might be saved, their sins might be forgiven, be made right with thee. We pray, Lord, as the gospel is preached tonight, especially the heart of the gospel, this teaching concerning being made right in thy sight. We pray, Father, speak to each heart this evening. May the word, Lord, go out, not in word only, but also in demonstration of the Spirit and with powers. People hear these things. We pray they might believe. As thy people hear, we pray that their faith might increase and their joy and their peace might increase in believing in Christ. So be with us now, Father, and help us and grant to us, Lord, we pray, the unction of the Holy Spirit. We acknowledge, Father, that without thee we cannot do these things. We cannot do spiritual things. We cannot pray. We cannot preach. Speak a proper word for thee. We need him to come alongside us and to help us to speak and to help us to hear. May he be truly here amongst us, present amongst us, to grant his assistance and aid. And we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, dear friends, the text of the Holy Scriptures that we're going to look together at this Lord's Day evening, and it's one of a number, but I want to start with it, is Romans chapter 3 and verse 28, the 28th verse of the third chapter of the Apostle Paul's Epistle to the Romans, where he says, and this is the conclusion that he comes to at this point in his letter to the Romans, therefore, we conclude, referring to himself, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. We conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So tonight, my dear friends, for a little while, we're going to consider, amongst other verses, this one here in Romans chapter 3, verse 28. Here the apostle, in this chapter and in this verse, is writing to Roman believers and the Roman church, the Christians who are in Rome, about, well, the very heart of the gospel, my dear friends. One, if not the most important teachings of the whole of Scripture. And that is, he was writing them here and teaching them, coming to his conclusion with them about justification by faith alone, without the deeds of the law. Notice he says, therefore we conclude, the Apostle Paul concluded, as he had been taught by God and taught by his Spirit, we conclude, and it's his conclusion after the arguments that he's brought to bear earlier on in this epistle, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. In other words, we are justified, made right in the sight of God by faith alone. So it's this particular teaching that I want us to think about this evening, the teaching that we have here in Romans 3:28, and also in the whole of Scripture, again, not just in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament. But first of all, let me try and tell you what perhaps the Apostle Paul meant by justification here. I don't want to put words into his mouth, we must never do that. But taking his teaching into account and the teaching of Scripture into account, he probably meant something like this, that justification by faith alone it's an instantaneous, one moment, legal act of God. It's a legal act of God in which he first of all thinks of the guilt of all his people's sins, believers' sins, as being completely forgiven, and the Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness is belonging to them. And secondly, declares them to be in a right legal standing before him, or righteous in his sight. How precious is this? And no longer liable to punishment. It is by or through faith alone in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my dear friends, that's so important for what we're going to consider a little bit later on. I think it's worth repeating. So let me repeat it to you once more. Let's say this is one, if not the most important teachings of Scripture. Please listen to this, what this is. This is at the very heart and nub and core of the gospel. It is that instantaneous legal act of God which he first of all reckons the guilt of all his people, believers, their sins has been completely forgiven, and the Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness is belonging to them. So their sins forgiven, Christ's righteousness imputed to them. Second, he declares them to be in a right legal standing before him, right before him, justified before him, righteous in his sight, and no longer liable to punishment. It is by or through faith alone, in Christ's work alone. That's the basis of our justification, the finished and all-sufficient work of Jesus Christ in his life and in his death upon the cross. Well, my dear friends, if that is a description, definition of justification, let me ask you at this point of the message this evening, is this something that has happened to you? Have you been justified by faith alone? Are you somebody who before God is just, not because of your own righteousness, but because you're somebody who has believed on God's Son, Jesus Christ, and because you've believed on him, you've received the blessings of his salvation. You see the forgiveness of your sins, and you've received the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no greater question than that, my dear friends, for you and for me throughout the whole of our lives and for tonight. It's whether or not you are right in the sight of God. You can't make yourself right with God. Only God can make you right with him. And he does it in this way, through your trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Your believing is not the basis of your being made right in the sight of God. It's Christ's finished work, and you're believing and trusting yourself to it. So are you justified by faith alone? Have you been justified, made right in the sight of God in this way? Well, if not already, perhaps this is something that may happen to you this evening as you hear these things. God might come. He might come by his Spirit, and he might grant you his gift, the gift of saving faith. As we hear about these things, hear about the gospel, the very heart of the gospel here in this teaching. Well, what does Scripture teach us about this? Paul in Romans 3 particularly, Romans 3:28, his conclusion, and other scriptures also, teach a number of things. The first thing is this, that this great thing, this great act, this legal act of God, it includes and it involves a legal declaration or pronouncement by God. That's the nature of it. It includes justification by faith, includes and involves a legal declaration or pronouncement by God. And we can say that because of the sense, of the very common sense in which God's word uses the word justify or to justify. And the very common way in which the Bible uses this word justify is to legally declare or to pronounce to be not guilty, or to legally declare or to pronounce to be righteous. It's sometimes contrasted with its opposite word, which is condemnation, which is what the world is under until they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what all unbelievers are under God's condemnation and curse, till they believe in Christ. So it's sometimes contrasted with its opposite word, condemnation, or to accuse, charge, or declare, or pronounce as being, or to be guilty. It doesn't change this, what God does, this legal act of God, this declaration or pronouncement of God. It doesn't change your internal character or nature at all. It is legal, it is forensic. It has to do with a legal proceeding, declaration, or pronouncement. And John Murray, the well-known theologian and writer, he describes the difference between the new birth and regeneration and this work of justification like this. We're looking at regeneration the other Sunday evening, weren't we? Regeneration is an act of God in us, but justification is a judgment of God with respect to us, with respect to his people. The distinction or the difference is like that of the distinction between the act of a surgeon and the act of a judge. The surgeon, when he removes an inward disease, an inward cancer, he does something in us. That's not what a judge does. A judge gives a verdict regarding our judicial status. If we are innocent, he declares us accordingly innocent. So that is what John Murray says about justification and the difference or the distinction between it and the new birth that we're looking at the other Sunday evening. So first of all, realize and understand in your minds that this is something that includes and involves God's a legal declaration or a legal pronouncement by God. To ask you, my dear friends, before we come on to our next point, to kind of develop it a little bit further. Has he legally declared or pronounced concerning you? Well, what we can say is this. We're kind of not there when he does, but we know that he has, if we have believed. If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, this legal pronouncement is made concerning us, that we are no longer guilty in his sight. He's not going to require punishment for our sins. Our sins were laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's righteousness is given to us. We're no longer under condemnation. We're no longer under God's curse. We're no longer being punished for our sins. Our sins have been forgiven. Our sins have been removed from us as far as the east is the west. And Christ's righteousness has come to us. And he declares us not guilty in his sight. Has he, my dear friend this evening, my dear young friend this evening, and older friend this evening, has God declared concerning you? Has he pronounced concerning you? And you know that he has, because he's given you a saving faith. Through that faith, you know that you are right in his sight. And this righteousness of Christ's has come to you. This forgiveness has come through his death upon the cross. Let's develop a little bit further. Secondly, it is also something that includes not only God legally and specifically pronouncing or making a pronouncement, it also includes him legally and specifically declaring those who believe on his Son to be just and righteous in his sight, even though by nature they are sinners. He declares them to be just in his sight. Because their sin, as I say, is imputed to Christ, and his righteousness is imputed to them. And how precious this is, my dear friends, to know this, to know that we are right in the sight of God. There are two aspects to this. The first is this. Scripture teaches us that God declares that there is therefore now no condemnation, no charge of condemnation or guilt to those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or that believers have full forgiveness of sins. Or that they have no penalty to pay for their sins, including past, present and future sins. This is what it involves. It's what justification involves on the one hand. It involves the forgiveness of our sins on the one hand. But it also involves another aspect, another declaration by God. He's also declaring that those who believe on his Son are actually, see, this is what we needed, my dear friends. You know, as sinners, we not only needed our sins being removed, but we also needed a righteousness to put us in a right standing with God. And that is what God does when we believe on his Son, Jesus Christ. And everything that he's done comes to us. His perfect life of obedience, his righteousness comes to us. Sin atoning death, that forgiveness of sins is also granted to us. So not only our sins are forgiven, but his righteousness, his perfect righteousness is given to us. He declares that we're actually and positively righteous before him, even before such a holy God, a thrice holy God, or in his sight. And that believers have the merits of perfect righteousness before him, even though they've not earned it themselves and can never earn it themselves, but have the righteousness of God or Christ given to them to clothe them, to cover them like a garment or a robe by or through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that, my dear friends, we can go through life no longer fearing to die, no longer fearing death any longer, because we've got nothing death has nothing, we've got nothing to fear concerning death. We're not going to enjoy death. Death is still penal. It's going to be, it may be unpleasant, it could be painful. But we don't have to, we're not going to have to fear after death and the judgment which is to come. We're not going to have to fear going to a lost eternity because our sins have been dealt with. Righteousness has been given to us. We can have a sense of confidence when we're dying. We can worship when we're dying. We can face God in the judgment. We can lift up our heads. Not that we have any confidence in ourselves, but we're in Jesus Christ. We're not going to be accountable, answerable for our sins. They've been dealt with, punished. They've been punished. Punished in our place. We're right in the sight of God. Sins and all said, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. With flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy will I lift up my head. It's a wonderful position to be in, my dear friends. Terrible to position not to be a believer, to be under condemnation, to fear to die, to fear the judgment to come, to fear going to a lost eternity, which you will go to if you don't believe. But what a wonderful position to be in if you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know these things are true of you, that God has legally and specifically declared you to be just in his sight. Has he done that? Do you know? Do you have the faith to believe that he's done this? Has he legally? He is just and the justifier of him that believes or her that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, legally and specifically declared you to be just in even in his sight. This holy God, so you have purer eyes than to behold sin. He's declared you to be just because your sin was imputed to his dear Son Jesus Christ upon the cross, and his righteousness imputed to you when you believed. Well, if you have believed, this is something that God has done, as we saw this morning. This is something that will never be overturned. It's not as though this is going to go from God's court to a higher court to some kind of supreme court. God's court is the supreme court, and once he declares this, once he pronounces this, you righteous, on the basis of Christ's work, this is something that stands and remains forever. So I trust he's done this. Again, if you have true faith, you've been born again, you trusted in Christ, this is something that God has done for you. If he hasn't, you can turn to him now, ask him for forgiveness, pray that he might have mercy upon you, ask him for faith to believe on his Son Jesus Christ, his only begotten beloved Son. It is something that also includes God declaring believers, his people, to be perfectly just or righteous before him, because as I've already said, he imputes Christ's righteousness to them on the basis of his perfect righteousness. And when we say this, that God imputes Christ's righteousness to us, it means that he reckons, or he regards, or he thinks, or he views Christ's righteousness as belonging to our account, to us who believe, as his free gift of grace. He imputes it to us. What a wonderful thing God has done, my dear friends. What a transaction is this? A transaction of great love and mercy and a grace. That he should take my sin, that he should take your sin and place it upon his Son, his sinless Son upon Calvary's cross, and for him to be punished in our place and to take the full penalty of our sins there, and for God's wrath to come upon him to the uttermost, to pay for all of our sins, and for God to take Christ's righteousness that he had wrought throughout the whole of his life, and to impute or to reckon or to regard it as ours. A wonderful thing that God has done. He's paid our debt. He set us free. And he has given to us such spiritual wealth. These are, Paul speaks, doesn't he, in his epistle to the Ephesians, about the unsearchable riches of Christ. These are the unsearchable riches of Christ and the unsearchable riches of God's grace, that he should forgive all your sin, past, present, and future, and that he should give this perfect, spotless righteousness to you who simply believe on him. Not something you've worked for. Indeed, it's something you despaired of, because it's not something you could attain yourself, because you're a sinner and fallen and weak, but something that comes to you through believing in Jesus Christ. So has God declared you to be perfectly just or righteous before him because he's imputed his son's righteousness to you? Again, my dear friends, you see the importance of faith, of a true, genuine, authentic, saving faith. If you have believed from your hearts, this is something that he has done. You're right in the sight of God. Privileged position, honored position to be in. You know, and Paul said to many whom he preached to, he wished that they were just like him. He said, accept these chains, accept these bonds. He could wish that everybody, you know, had come to the spiritual position that he was in Jesus Christ. It's a position to seek God for and to give him no rest, and that he grants you this position to be in. Trusting, resting in Christ, being right in the sight of God. Well, fourthly, this is something that comes to us, therefore, entirely and completely and wholly by the grace of God, by the mercy and the love of God, and not as the result of any merit or righteousness of ourselves. You can check your so-called salvation, my dear friend, tonight. You can check your Christianity. You can check whether or not you are truly justified in the sight of God. Just on this, what is its nature? How have you been justified? Has it been purely by the grace of God, and God's grace is amazing to you? Or have you, to any degree, to any iota, earned a right standing before God? If you think and they feel that you have, my dear friend, you have, and that's not God's justification. God's justification is by faith alone, in God's Son alone, by grace alone, and not as a result of any merit or righteousness of our own. It's not through our own works, our own code, and it's not even by seeking to keep God's law. We can't do it, because you and I, read it in Romans chapter 3 there earlier on, we're completely unable, totally unable to earn favour with God ourselves. We can't atone for our own sins, and we can't keep his law perfectly. We can't be justified in God's sight by the works of the law, because we've sinned. We've come short of the glory of God. We'll never be able to make ourselves righteous before him. We deserve to go to hell. We deserve to be eternally punished for our sins. And so therefore, the only way in which we could be justified is if God free provided salvation for us by grace alone. His undeserved, his unmerited favour or kindness towards us, totally apart from our own merit or righteousness or work, and only through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that true of you, my friend, tonight? When you think about your standing before God, are you in that position before him? You can say, I'm only in this position. I'm only here. I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm only here by the grace of God. And I'm only accepted in the beloved through God's grace towards me. It's been totally undeserved. It's been totally unmerited. It's all of grace, you say. God's amazing grace towards me. And not as a result of anything that I am. Anything that I've done. Anything that I'm doing, anything that I'm going to do in the future. Not all my works, not all my prayers, not all my tears, not all my righteousness, they're filthy rags anyway. Nothing could do this, but purely God's grace and mercy towards me. I owe all to God. I owe all to his grace. And therefore, I give him all the glory. Well, my dear friend, if that's your position, then it is very likely indeed that perhaps you have a right understanding of justification. If you're a true believer, it truly is yours. When you see, got nothing to do with you. You did everything to resist God. But God was merciful, God was gracious. He chased you by his Spirit. He granted you the new birth, he granted you repentance, and he granted you faith in order that you might receive these things and a right standing before him. Well, fifthly and finally, before we close, it also includes, amongst other things perhaps, that he does this. We've emphasized the grace aspect. As we close, let us emphasize the believing aspect, the faith aspect, how this comes to us, the instrument or the channel, the means by which this righteousness comes to us. It's by or through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that God makes us right in his sight because of the inherent goodness of our faith. Faith isn't a work. It's not the basis of right standing before God. As if it in of itself earns us favour or merit with him. It is, or an activity that does so, or has merit before God. But it does mean that God justifies us by or through means of our faith alone. And this is the breakthrough that certain people have made in the past. There they were, you know, people like Martin Luther and many others like him. They were trying to get into a right relationship with God. They're no doubt frightened of dying, what was going to happen to them as a result of dying or after dying because of their sins and God's punishment being meted out upon them. And they were trying to get themselves in a right relationship with God. But the harder they tried, the further they got away from it. The more they tried to keep God's law, the more they were weak in the flesh and broke God's law. And they saw themselves as sinners, just as in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. A Christian, before he comes to the cross, he tries, as it were, to achieve salvation. Bunyan pictures it as a great hill or a mountain, doesn't he? And the higher he tries to climb, the greater the mountain over him looms over him. And there's the thunder and the lightning, and he feels in danger of the mountain falling on top of him. He couldn't get into the way through climbing that hill, the hill of law works. He had to come to the cross and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear friends, this right standing before God comes through faith alone, understanding it be the instrument by or through which it's given to us, because we're justified solely because of the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you an example of what faith is and isn't like. For example, a wife receiving a check for work that her recently deceased husband has done for his employer. The means, the instrument or means that she uses to get it is the act of reaching out her hand and taking an envelope from her letterbox or from her mailbox, then opening it, pulling out the check. But her late husband's employer doesn't pay her for doing any of those actions. The pay is entirely for the work that her husband did prior to that. So actually taking the check did not earn her one penny of the money she received. It was simply the instrument or the means she used to take the payment into her possession. And similarly, faith is the instrument we use to receive justification from God. The channel by which we receive it. It's the means, it's the instrument, but it itself gains us no merit with God. It's based on Christ's work alone. You might think, why, Lord? Why did you choose this particular gift, this particular grace to justify your people? Why not something else? Why faith as the attitude of heart to make your people right before you? Well, my dear friends, perhaps because it is the one attitude of heart that's the exact opposite of depending on and trusting in ourselves. When we come to Christ in faith, we're basically saying this, and this is perhaps the place that you need to come to before you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I give in, Lord. I give up trying to make myself right with you, trying to earn my salvation, trying to make myself right. I not depend or trust on myself or on my own good works anymore. I know that I can never make myself righteous before you. Therefore, Lord Jesus Christ, I trust in you. I put my trust, my faith, my hope in you and depend upon you completely to give me a righteous standing before God. It is the attitude of heart that perfectly fits salvation, that depends not at all on our own merit, but entirely on God's free gift of grace. So here is the question, my dear friend, tonight. Has this God, This great God, this all-glorious God, this holy, just God, has he justified you by or through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you trusted in him? Have you looked to him? And has this salvation come to you? Received it? You've laid hold on eternal life. You've laid hold upon the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. Your sins have been forgiven, and Christ's righteousness have been given, and you're in a right standing before God. What a position to be in. What a blessed position to be in. That's what the psalmist was really saying, wasn't it, in Psalm 103? That's the blessed man that's had this happen to him, who has believed, and his transgressions are forgiven, sins are covered, and has been granted the Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness. Well, has God been gracious to you already? And if not, will he be gracious to you tonight? As you listen to these things, you get hold of them by faith, that they might be granted to you. So justification, my dear friends, enables me tonight, as we close, to offer genuine hope to you who know that you could never make yourself righteous before God. If salvation is a free gift to be received through faith alone, then, my dear friend, anybody, anyone, no matter what they've done in the past, who hears the gospel, may hope that eternal life is freely offered to and may be obtained by them. My dear friend, whatever you've been, whatever you've done, there's hope for you tonight. However much you've sinned against God, your salvation doesn't depend on you paying for those sins or making yourself right. It depends on you trusting on the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so there is hope, there's light for you if you obey the gospel, repent and believe it and believe on him. And it also gives those who believe confidence that God will never make us pay the penalty for our sins that is due for them and that have been forgiven on Christ's merits. He won't take vengeance on us for past sins, punish them out of wrath or for the purpose of doing us harm. This fact should give you and I a great sense of joy and confidence and liberty and freedom before God, that we're accepted by him, accepted in the Beloved, and that we stand before him as not guilty and righteous, not only now and not only for the near future, but, my dear friends, throughout all eternity, throughout everlasting life. Is that written over you tonight? Your position. Not that you're guilty still in your sins and in unbelief and under condemnation, but over you it's been proclaimed, declared not guilty, because you've simply trusted in Christ. And that faith from God, because it's all of him, my dear friends, it's all of his grace, all of